Hello, I'm Trey Marone, and welcome to the West Virginia EDUCAST. On today's episode, we're covering a topic that affects schools, school administrators, students, and parents alike, and that's the topic of medical cannabis. Like many other states, in 2017, West Virginia legalized the medical use of cannabis. West Virginia's legislation makes it possible for individuals and businesses to participate as a grower, harvester, processor, and distributor of medical cannabis. West Virginia's Medical Cannabis Act allows cannabis to be administered for certified medical use by a West Virginia resident with a serious medical condition. Today, we're discussing the general rules and guidance provided by the statute, and we will discuss how this might impact boards of education with employees or students who may be prescribed medical cannabis, and what boards can and cannot do when an employee or student reports to school under the influence of medical cannabis. As always, we would look to the Department of Education for specific guidance for boards of education, as this issue relates to both school employees and students. Joining me to discuss this topic is Bowles Rice attorney Tyler Mayhew, who practices labor and employment law out of our Martinsburg office. Tyler is also the partner in charge of our firm's human resource department, so he not only offers advice and counsel to others, but faces issues affecting human resources for our employees as well. Tyler advises employers on human resources and compliance matters and employment policies. He also defends employers against claims asserted in court, before administrative tribunals, and in arbitration. He has successfully defended employers from employee discrimination and harassment claims, misclassification claims, wage and hour claims, deliberate intent claims, and wrongful termination claims. Tyler earned his law degree from the West Virginia University College of Law in 2010, where he was president of the WU Environmental Law Society and a member of the West Virginia Law Review. Prior to joining Bowles Rice, Tyler clerked for the Honorable David J. Joel, Magistrate Judge for the United States District Court for the Northern District of West Virginia. Tyler is a board member of the Eastern Panhandle Society for Human Resource Management and the Jefferson County Chamber of Commerce. He's also a member of the Virginia Association of Defense Attorneys and a member of the labor and employment sections of both the Defense Trial Council of West Virginia and the Defense Research Institute. Welcome, Tyler. That's a lot going on, and congratulations to you on your success.
Thank you, Trey, and it's a pleasure to be here. And this is an exciting topic that we get to talk about that is very new in my practice and in the state of West Virginia and still developing. And so it's something that's sort of on the cutting edge of HR issues in our state and is going to become something that folks need to know more about as time goes on. So happy to be here.
Yeah, that's an interesting little tidbit with you. Not only is it an area of practice, but the position you hold with the firm. I mean, it gives you kind of, you know, you're advising and looking at people outside the firm, but you're also looking at issues inside the firm. So it kind of gives you that vantage point that a lot of your clients are kind of where they sit, and the ability you have to be able to see that from their seat is, I'm sure, very valuable in addressing the needs of the clients. You know, let's just jump right in here. I think, you know, with this conversation today, it might be helpful to first just understand the terminology that we're going to be using. You know, medical cannabis is the term the legislature has used in enacting this law. But we oftentimes hear the phrase recreational marijuana. That seems to kind of get people's attention when they hear that. Curious to know, are they one and the same?
So physically, yes, but legally, no. And there is a lot of confusion around what those words mean and which ones you should use. So I think it is helpful to kind of give a little bit of an explanation of what we really are talking about here. So cannabis is a plant. And depending upon the amount of THC that's in that plant, it can either be considered industrial hemp, which is fully legal under state and federal law. And that's actually what CBD comes from, if you're familiar with CBD. Or if it has more THC than what would be allowed in industrial hemp, it's considered to be cannabis, which is the same thing as marijuana. Cannabis and marijuana are different words that are used to refer to the same thing. And that is the plant that causes the high that people associate with illegal marijuana use. Now, even though physically marijuana and cannabis are the same plant, under state law, what we have decided is that certain medical uses of cannabis should be allowed, but recreational use of cannabis or marijuana or however you refer to it remains illegal.
Okay. So in West Virginia, we're still in the frame of mind that in looking at cannabis, there's medical use and there's recreational use. So our focus today is on the act, which relates to the medical use of cannabis, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. There is no recognized recreational use of cannabis or marijuana in West Virginia.
Okay. So let's just talk about the act itself. How does the Medical Cannabis Act work in West Virginia?
So the act places pretty strict limits on possession of medical cannabis. So it limits possession of medical cannabis to registered patients and to their caregivers. And it strictly limits the use of that medical cannabis to certain products that are authorized under the law that are then purchased by registered patients from legitimate regulated sources. So only specific approved forms of medical cannabis are legal in West Virginia. They have to be purchased from a licensed regulated dispensary. The law does not allow patients to grow their own cannabis. It doesn't allow you to purchase or use cannabis that people would get from the black market, even if that use is for medical purposes. And it does not allow for recreational use. Now, to be prescribed medical cannabis, the patient has to be registered with the state of West Virginia. And the patient has to have one of various serious medical conditions that are specified in the statute. And they have to be certified for that use by a registered physician. And then once that patient gets that certification from a practitioner, they can then register and receive a West Virginia medical cannabis card, which would then allow them to purchase medical cannabis from a licensed dispensary in West Virginia and then possess and use that medical cannabis as medicine.
Well, that sounds to me like, which is what a lot of laws are about, control and regulation. Like, we're going to allow this, but we're going to have a lot of control and regulation of it. And it sounds like, from the way you've described that, that any person who's legally going to, you know, be able to use the medical cannabis, there's going to be a pretty clear paper trail to substantiate the use of that and the obtaining of that and the prescription of that, right? It sounds like there's a lot of measures in there to keep good control over this.
That's correct. You know, and just as a little bit of background, many states across the U.S. have legalized at the state law level use of cannabis in some form, whether it is medical or recreational or both. How that is done is different from state to state and what they allow and what kind of restrictions they place on it. West Virginia's law is patterned after Pennsylvania's law. And both of those laws are more restrictive than the medical cannabis laws in many other states. And so our law is designed to be very specific about who is allowed to possess and use it, for what conditions, who they get it from, and who is allowed to prescribe it. So you're right. It is a very controlled process. That is by design. And there is a good paper trail that's created as part of that process.
Well, that kind of raises a question in my mind, your response there. What if a person is a resident of another state? You know, West Virginia, we have several border states. So what if a person, individuals, a resident of another state, could be a border state, but they're working in West Virginia? You know, can that person legally be prescribed medical cannabis in West Virginia?
So the answer is no. And I'm in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. And where I live and work, I am in very close proximity to Virginia, to Maryland, and to the District of Columbia, all three of which have, I would say, less restrictive state laws on cannabis use than West Virginia does. So in fact, in Virginia and the District of Columbia, recreational cannabis use is actually legal there. And Maryland has a much less restrictive medical cannabis law. But regardless of whether you are legally possessing and using cannabis for medical or recreational purposes as appropriate in another state where you live. If you come to West Virginia, the only possession and use of cannabis that we recognize has to be in accordance with West Virginia law. West Virginia's act does not recognize other states' laws on possession or use of cannabis. Only patients with a West Virginia medical cannabis card issued by the state can possess or use medical cannabis here in this state. And that card can only be prescribed by a physician who's licensed in West Virginia and certified by the state to prescribe medical cannabis. So, for example, if you have a Maryland resident who works as a teacher in West Virginia, and that person is legally prescribed to use medical cannabis in Maryland under Maryland law, that person would still be considered to be illegally using cannabis in West Virginia.
I'm trying to kind of wrap my brain around that because I can see kind of see both sides of that. For example, let's say I have a really good teacher who lives in Maryland and has legally prescribed medical cannabis in Maryland, and they use that and need to use that, but they cross the border to teach in West Virginia. Are we saying that that use that they are engaging in under Maryland law is not recognized by West Virginia law?
That's correct. And I think, and we'll get into this in a couple of minutes, but if this teacher's not coming to work intoxicated or in possession of their medicine, it may never come up as an issue. But you're correct. That person would be able to legally use medical cannabis in Maryland and legally possess medical cannabis in Maryland. But if they drive into West Virginia and they're in possession of their medicine, they're unfortunately violating West Virginia law by possessing it. And if they're using it in West Virginia, they're doing so illegally.
Interesting. And also, you started off, I think, by pointing out that, you know, that the West Virginia Act restricts the issuance of the medical cannabis card to a West Virginia resident. So you would have to be a West Virginia resident. You can't live in a border state, work in West Virginia, and then come to West Virginia. Let's say we have different or what you view as better medical cannabis laws than your state. You can't kind of do that and take advantage of that, correct?
Yeah. And I'm not here to pass judgment on the public policy decisions that these other states have made. You know, that's up to the citizens in those states to decide what's appropriate for their citizens. But at the moment, cannabis is essentially regulated on a state-by-state basis. This is how West Virginia has decided that its law should function. And it is becoming a problem more so for HR advising, because I am starting to run into this in my practice more, where I have employers who are based in West Virginia, but they have employees who commute in from other states. And those individuals simply don't understand the nuances of how these laws work. And so they may come to West Virginia and have medical cannabis that they legally purchased in Maryland in their car or on their person and are found to be in possession of that and are shocked to find that, unfortunately, when they cross that state line, what they were doing previously in Maryland, in a totally legal way, is illegal here in West Virginia and can be a problem for them.
Yeah, very important takeaway here, you know, that every state's not doing it the same way, and there are differences. And I think that's why this podcast is so relevant to our listeners in West Virginia, because it's important to know and understand the differences between, you know, West Virginia and maybe other states, that there could be some issues there to look at. But, you know, let's take it on a higher level. What about federal drug laws? How do those federal laws impact West Virginia's medical Cannabis Act?
So cannabis in all forms is an illegal Schedule I drug under federal law. And that is regardless of whether it's legal under state law and regardless of the purpose for which a person possesses or uses it. So even though the production, distribution, prescription, possession, and use of medical cannabis is legal under West Virginia law for registered patients under our act, all of those activities are currently illegal under federal law, including the medical possession and use. So the federal government currently has a policy of not prosecuting individuals under federal law for their legal use of cannabis under state law. But that is just a policy. It's not a law, and it's a policy that could change at any time. So that's an important thing to understand. And it's one of the reasons why this is a very unique area of the law. This is one of the few activities that I know of that is totally prohibited by federal law, but may be legal state to state under state law.
Yeah, very interesting nuance. So this, you said, is a Schedule I drug. What's the distinction of a Schedule I drug?
So generally under the Federal Controlled Substances Act, what the government has done is taken various drugs that, you know, they feel people shouldn't just have ready access to or shouldn't have any access to, depending upon its characteristics, and tried to characterize it into different what they call schedules based on what they think the severity is of using it, addiction potential, whether it has recognized medical uses, things like that. Schedule one is the most controlled level. All drugs that are deemed Schedule One are totally illegal under federal law. They have no legal uses under federal law. And at least for purposes of federal law, they have no recognized medical uses either. So Schedule One drugs, including cannabis or marijuana, includes things like ecstasy, heroin, LSD, those types of drugs that have been illegal for a long time and tend to carry very severe penalties. So that is what that means.
Very interesting. Thanks for explaining that. So let's turn more towards kind of the focus today, you know, when it comes to this EDUCAST and school districts in West Virginia. You know, I'm sitting here wondering, how would a school district even know if an employee or a student, for that matter, is using medical cannabis? I mean, can the school district require employees or students to disclose that they are registered patients and have been prescribed medical cannabis?
So generally, no. And the reason for that is medical cannabis that's being lawfully prescribed and possessed and used by a patient, it's a prescription drug like any other. And generally, you're not allowed as an employer to ask employees what types of medication they're taking. The Americans with Disabilities Act and under state law, the West Virginia Human Rights Act, restrict employers from making what are called disability-related inquiries, unless there are certain kinds of circumstances that would allow those questions to be asked. And that includes asking employees about what medications they're on. Now, the Medical Cannabis Act itself also prohibits employers from essentially discriminating or retaliating against someone solely on the basis of being a medical cannabis patient. So you can't discharge, threaten to discharge, refuse to hire, or otherwise discriminate against someone solely on the basis that they are a registered medical cannabis cardholder.
Very good information, you know, because those are the types of issues that human resource departments all throughout the state in every aspect, but certainly in county boards of education, face those types of issues. And it's good to know and understand that. But what about those employees, Tyler, that are in safety sensitive positions? You know, the one that jumps out, I think, with school districts the most is your bus operators. But, you know, some school districts, you know, they've got heavy equipment operators that are in different positions that run heavy equipment. And there might be other types of positions that are considered safety sensitive positions. So what about those employees? Do these same prohibitions that you're talking about, or kind of rules of practice, do those still apply in safety-sensitive positions?
So I think it's a little bit different situation there, because you're dealing with folks whose jobs, the job functions that they perform may either put themselves at risk or put other people at risk if they are not, you know, fully sober and not impaired by, you know, medications that they may be taking. In fact, the Medical Cannabis Act prohibits cannabis patients from operating motor vehicles while they're under the influence of medical cannabis and from performing, you know, life-threatening jobs or duties that could result in public health or safety risk. Now, when we're talking about bus drivers, there's another layer here to keep in mind, and this is this whole state federal law interplay. You know, a bus driver has a CDL. And those are regulated under federal law. And under federal law, a CDL holder can't use controlled substances. And so cannabis in all forms is a prohibited controlled substance under federal law. So there's that additional restriction there when you're talking about a bus driver who's got a CDL. But if you've got an employee who's in a safety sensitive position, it changes that analysis a little bit just because of the nature of the job function.
Okay. Well, you know, in school systems, and you've probably said that we've seen this, those of us, you know, that do this work, a school system, you know, what about when an employee reports to work and is suspected to be under the influence of alcohol or drugs? You know, those employees are often sent for a drug test. If the drug test shows the presence of illegal drugs in their system, they would be, you know, typically they are subject to discipline by the school district. So what happens in that situation if the employee shows up to school under the influence of medical cannabis?
Well, so it's pretty much the same thing as a non-patient showing up to work under the influence of a substance, whether it's alcohol or cannabis or anything else. The Medical Cannabis Act does not require employers to allow patients to work while they're under the influence of medical cannabis. And in fact, there's certain types of jobs that the act prohibits those people from doing. It also does not require employers to violate federal law. And there's an interesting interplay here with schools, because schools are drug-free zones, and that's, you know, under federal regulations as well. So long as you have a reasonable suspicion based on objective information that's more than just, we know this person is a medical cannabis cardholder, but, you know, is based upon some actual indicia of intoxication in the workplace, it's proper to drug test that person for presence of illegal substances. And an employee who would test positive under those circumstances, you know, can still be subject to discipline, even if they're a registered medical cannabis cardholder, because of the fact that they're, you know, working while under the influence of their medicine.
So it sounds like the takeaway for me here is that don't get hung up in the fact that it's medical cannabis, because the same rules apply. Someone might be on it, some other prescription drug that may or may not be Schedule One, you know, more likely Schedule Two or some other scheduled drug, and they might be under the influence of drug that's been prescribed to them for a medical reason, but maybe they've overused it, or maybe for whatever reason that's going on in their system, somehow it's caused them to demonstrate signs and symptoms of being under the influence where they can't maybe function properly in performing their job. So don't really get hung up in the fact that it's medical cannabis at issue here. Treat it the same as if it is someone who is under the influence of another drug. It might be prescribed, you know, perfectly legally.
Or even, you know, something that's totally legal to use without a prescription, but can still cause intoxication. I mean, you can't have a teacher come to work with a six pack of beer and drink it at their desk, you know, and so they can do that at home on their own time, and it's not a problem, but they're not allowed to do it at work, and medical cannabis is no different.
Good point. You know, I know you said that boards of education are allowed to ask if an employee is a registered medical cannabis cardholder, but what about a situation where the supervisor overhears an employee talking about it, or, you know, maybe the employee just voluntarily discloses the information to the supervisor? Can that in and of itself create a reasonable suspicion to drug test that employee?
No. And this is perhaps the important thing, and what we were just talking about is it's important to focus on whether, you know, for your average employee who's not in a safety sensitive position, like a bus driver, what you need to be looking for if you have a concern is intoxication, objective evidence of intoxication. Unless an employee is exhibiting those behaviors that a reasonable person would believe that person may be under the influence of alcohol or drugs, you can't drug test an employee just because you think that they may be a medical cannabis cardholder or may have been prescribed medical cannabis. That could be discrimination or retaliatory under the Medical Cannabis Act, which prohibits you from discriminating against someone solely on the basis of the fact that they're a patient.
So once again, don't really get hung up on the fact that it's medical cannabis here. You know, you still need to meet the same criteria under your drug-free workplace policies that you've had to meet in the past.
And it's the same with your safety-sensitive positions, such as a bus driver or a truck driver. Those folks are differently situated from your other employees. And what you're allowed to do with those employees is a little different. So a private employer, a non-school employer, you know, can have random drug testing, for example, in West Virginia for safety-sensitive employees. So they're situated a little bit differently because their job duties do deal with things that can pose a threat to the public. And the Medical Cannabis Act, again, it prohibits patients from performing certain safety-sensitive positions while they're under the influence of their medicine. Yeah. And that's particularly true for your CDL employees, like your bus drivers, because again, remember, they're regulated under federal law as well, and it prohibits all forms of cannabis use.
Yeah. So it really is, you know, whether you agree or not, you know, with the legislative act, that we're not here debating that, but it's legal. You know, medical cannabis under the act is legal. And, you know, so it needs to be recognized as that, and just don't distinguish or discriminate or do things differently. You know, someone might have a prescription for Xanax or some other that's medically prescribed. It's legally prescribed. The doctors prescribed it for them. They're using that. But if the use of that somehow, maybe it's been improperly used or somehow something's going on that day and they're functioning differently and there's reasonable suspicion, then that is something that would, you know, trigger probably your drug-free workplace policy, and same thing here. So I think the takeaway I keep getting here is, you know, don't get hung up in the fact that it's medical cannabis that you're dealing with. You need to treat it as and recognize it as it's been legalized in West Virginia at this time. So to kind of sum up, I think we could probably talk for a lot longer about some of these things. But for now, I think I'm going to kind of finish up with this question here. What advice would you give boards of education when faced with questions about an employee's use of medical cannabis?
As you can tell from our discussion, it's a complicated issue and there's a lot of nuances to it. So my advice is to go and get legal advice from an attorney that you trust to look at the issue for you. And it's important to understand that this is a developing area of the law. You know, the Medical Cannabis Act in West Virginia was passed in 2017. But for various reasons, the first medical cannabis dispensaries in West Virginia just opened in 2021. So it's really only been within the last year that you've had actual medical cannabis patients in West Virginia that may be in possession of and may be using medical cannabis as medicine. So, you know, the law in this area, it continues to evolve. And you have to always keep in mind that anyone who is granted a medical cannabis card is suffering from a serious medical condition. And the ones that are specified in the statute are very serious. Things like cancer and HIV and Crohn's disease and PTSD and stuff like that. So there's a lot of moving parts that have to be considered. And the law is changing and developing in this area.
And, you know, I don't want to lose sight of, you mentioned early on in this episode about the act and the requirements. I mean, there's some very specific requirements in this act. And I, you know, my statements about, you know, the drug-free workplace policy, that doesn't mean that those other conditions and requirements don't apply. I mean, those are still there as well. So it might be something that's a little bit more complicated than your, you know, than the situations that employers have been dealing with up to this point, because not only do you want to address it from the drug-free workplace policy, but also from the Medical Cannabis Act itself to make sure those requirements have been met. So again, another reason to seek legal advice there. You know, and as always, we look to the Department of Education for specific guidance for boards of education as this issue relates to both school employees and students. And it is our understanding that specific guidance from the department is in the pipeline as we speak. So, well, thank you so much, Tyler. Very, very informative. I love these podcasts. I always come away knowing more than when I started about it, which sometimes is very little. So I appreciate all your insight and your experience and your knowledge of this particular topic and for spending your time today with us to get this out there to our listeners.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. So to our listeners, be sure and join us for another episode of the West Virginia Educast, where we will continue to talk about topics of interest to you in your school districts and in the operation. We have several episodes that are already on file that you can access as well through our website. But until then, until the next time, I'm Trey Marone, and this is the West Virginia Educast. Thanks for taking a listen.